What is up, our friends from the internet? It's the Tech Yeah Games podcast here once again. I'm here with my amazing co-host, Leo.
Happy to be here. Pretty excited.
I'm excited to have you here, Leo, as always.
I know. My enthusiasm never diminishes.
It really doesn't, and my enthusiasm to speak to you never diminishes. It's a ever-flowing well of enthusiasm.
You should see how he talks to me when we're not recording people.
Springing from the earth. like oil. It's never going to run out.
Yeah, right.
Leo, did you have a good week this week?
I did, yeah. It was fine. Just work stuff. I played a lot of games I'm excited to talk about, but I should tell you, Tony, and everyone, we're going to have to make this one short because I just got a special delivery right before we started recording.
Was it the Sherry's Berries I sent over using promo code TechYeah?
Finally got them. Although, if Sherry's Berries is listening.
Yeah, we're you
know. No, I think I mentioned last week, I finally got my hands on a PS5 as a whole process. And it's been this weird thing where they're going back and forth and updating the date. But yeah, they actually didn't even knock on my door. I got an email that was like, it's been delivered. I was like, what? I was in my kitchen. You could have knocked. Like, what if? But anyway, I pulled it in and opened it up, and I have not played it yet, so I'll come back next week with a full report on my thoughts on the PS5, but I am pretty excited. I set up the stand. I will say, I just held the controller. I haven't even used it yet, but it feels awesome. The weight of it is really nice, and I did grab my DualShock 4 and like put my hands on it, and then put my hands on the PS5, and my initial perception is a PS5 controller is way better.
Yeah, it definitely has.
I haven't even used it yet, just like form factor wise.
It has a very polished feel to it. Like, you're like, oh, this is some hardware right here.
Yeah, and even like, again, haven't even turned it on, but I did set it up and like clean it and, you know, bleached it and everything. And everyone does that, right?
Yeah, everyone does that. It's not just okay. You. You're not a psychopath, I promise.
But even just the way they put the stand, like the screw inside the stand and put a little place for the cap, like little shit like that. I'm like, dude, this is cool. Like, it's very well engineered. And I know we already knew that. And it's kind of ugly and huge, but it really does feel very deliberate in a way that I think the PS3 and even the PS4 didn't quite have that same level of like real love and care put into the design.
Yeah, the PS4 definitely didn't. I was never
even fan the Pro, of the PS4 it's like, look. It just feels like a big ass blocky. Like, yeah, I don't know. This has a kind of a different vibe. And again, I still think it's very ugly looking, but it's cool getting my hands on it. And yeah, haven't turned it on yet, but I'll come back next week with a full report. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what you think.
Yeah.
Well, I know you haven't played any PS5 games yet, but did you get to play any games this week?
Yeah, I played some Final Fantasy 14, which I wanted to talk a little bit about because they started this event with the itinerant Moogle. So if you do certain duties, which are like dungeons for those of you who don't play, you get these little tombstones, and then you can use those to buy like kind of special edition shit. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty cool. I've never gotten into that side of MMOs, and at first it kind of annoyed me because I looked at the list of stuff and there's some cool mounts, like some really interesting stuff in there that I do want. But I kind of got resentful. It was like, what? I have to like grind these repetitive dungeons just to get something because it's like time sensitive. It's oddly made me like kind of resentful. I was like, you're dude, crazy, I don't have a lot of time, and I pay a monthly fee for this game. Like, why are you saying you better grind this week, otherwise the shit's off the table? Feels kind of like, what, I'm paying you. What do you mean you're gonna like say, hey, you have to clear your schedule so that you can get these mounts, you know? And it all sounds very petty and silly, but
so petty.
I was just curious if you've ever kind of encountered that. Maybe it's just like my aversion to the MMO thing, but it was like kind of pissed me off. I was like, dude, what if I want this mount but don't have time to grind this week? You're just going to be like, no, sorry, dude.
Well, it takes me back to a time before I was an MMO junkie when I did think about things like that. And I was like, I mean, yeah, I would have balked at a monthly payment. You know, I was playing Counter-Strike. Yeah. I was owning noobs, you know, on Aztec, Leet Crew, shooting headshots, AWP, AK. And then people are like, you should play World of Warcraft. It's $15 a month. And I'm like, fuck you, man. Fuck you. And World of Warcraft, you son of a bitch. How dare you? How dare you?
It is a dumb name, even
how
now.
Dare you say World of Warcraft to me? How dare you want my credit card information? You know, I was fucking mad. But took then a
stand.
I played.
That was the last time you took a stand.
Yeah, I took a real, real stand. But then I played World of Warcraft and paid $15 a month and ended up buying multiple accounts and buying things on my accounts and, you know, really being a whale. And ever since, I've been a lot more forgiving for that kind of stuff. But the thing to remember about the Moogle event, I don't remember what they call the event, Mog Store or something. Yeah. Moogle treasure hunt, treasure trove.
Yeah.
Most of this stuff isn't unique to the event. So yeah,
true. I did look into that, but the thing is, it kind of is, because the shit you have to do to get some of those mounts, and again, for some reason this doesn't bother me as much because it's not time sensitive, is like completely ridiculous. Like, I'm never going to be like, it's a 0.05% drop rate from this insanely, extremely hard raid. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm never... I love this game, but I'm never doing that ever.
Well, I will say most of the, like most of the trial ones you can solo now, right? Like once you hit 80 and get level 80 gear, most of like the older trials you can people solo them to farm them for mounts. They don't like get grouped together
That's a good point. And anyway, there's more to this story, which is like I kind of got
crying,
mad.
More crying.
Right, no,
let's
no.
Hear it. It, let's hear it.
It does sound so stupid. It's like, dude, this shit is optional. But there was something that I was like, I feel pressured to play the game, and I'm very resentful of that. But anyway, then I realized that if you run, the one that you get the most of these tombstones for is basically the last boss of a Realm Reborn, you know, where you go through that big thing and you fight the ultimate weapon or whatever the fuck.
Oh, the Praetorium or whatever?
Yeah, the Praetorium. That's exactly what it's called. And what's cool about that one is it's 90% cutscenes that you can't skip, which is annoying if you're playing. But what I discovered is it's awesome because I just put on something I'm watching and I watch that like full time, fully invested in that. And then I just glance over when it's time to play, do something really quick, and it's back to another 10 minutes of cutscenes. And doing that actually was cool because I felt like I was making a lot of progress towards this process with very little emotional investment and very little effort because everything's just getting melted immediately because everyone knows the raid really well or whatever it's called. And I assume gear has something to do with it. So it's no effort. There's no chance of you dying. And when I realized that, like I watched some more of that anime recommended and I was just watching that in one window and had the game open in another and would just occasionally reach over and press some buttons. And once I made that connection that it wasn't actually asking for an hour of my time for 10 of these things, it made me much happier. So I've actually been doing that, and I already bought one of the really expensive mounts. It's like a Tyrannosaurus Rex, which is pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. T-Rexes are pretty dope. You know, I will say, like, the Praetorium, like, don't do this, but you really can just AFK the whole thing, and other people will finish it. You know, like, because...
And that's essential. Like, I actually am having fun kind of speedrunning. You're like, oh, I know exactly where to go, but I think you're right. You could just die, and no one would even know.
What happens a lot is, like, you die on accident because you're like behind in the group and everything gets pulled and then you're the last person in the area and then everything kills you really fast. And then you just get out of sync with the rest of the group and then you never see them again and they finish it. You know, like you just start watching cutscenes trigger and you're like, I don't even know where everyone is. Yep. So, you know, like you could just queue it and watch Demon Slayer. That's what you're watching, right? Demon Slayer?
Yeah, that's correct.
Kimetsu no Yaiba.
Yeah. Ooh, nice. Actually, like, I have no idea if that was nice because I'm not Japanese, but it sounded very confident.
That's what it is, you know? Do you like it?
Yeah, I do like it. It's fun. We talked a little bit about it. I'm only, I think, on the fourth episode. It definitely does the tropes that I find immensely irritating and very, like, unwatchable. But I feel like I have to enjoy it despite those.
Tropes are irritating you the most?
I hate... A lot of tropes. Really, almost all anime tropes annoy me. But especially the ones where their like expressions get all wacky or they like change the color and they're trying to make it seem like it's pulled out of a manga. Mm-hmm. It looks cheap. It looks stupid. And it's just part of anime. And we're not going to get an anime conversation. But it's like, I do look forward to the day where I can find an anime that does not do that. If it exists. But there's a lot I like about it too. Like, it's very entertaining and fun. And you know, overall, it's very well made.
Yeah, it is very well made. UFO Table is pretty next level when it comes to making animes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I would have to know what tropes specifically, because all animes have tropes, right? So it's like, which ones are the ones, but...
Yeah, and I don't even know if I have the language, you know, I don't know if I've even watched enough to be able to articulate it properly, but I'll make note next time I'm watching, because it would be interesting to talk to you about it.
Yeah,
if and it's something definitely... you just get used to, or if it's something that people actually genuinely like about it, or, you know, it'd be interesting to talk more about that.
I mean, I don't think Demon Slayer is, I mean, we can talk about anime for a little bit, but I don't think Demon Slayer is, like, the best anime. Yeah. Like, it's the most popular by far. Like, it's the biggest thing in Japan. And
it's very accessible.
Yes. It's very accessible.
Yeah.
It fits what you think an anime should be, you know, yeah. Like, there's demons, there's sword guys.
They're slaying.
Yeah.
It's slaying. All right there in the name.
Yeah. You power up. There's a cute zombie girl. Like, yeah. You know, there's the old OG master, you know, yeah. Like there's an impossible challenge to overcome. Like all those things like exist. So it's like, oh, this is very anime. So it's a really refined, beautiful version of that. Like the art's really great.
Yeah, I agree. It does look really nice. Most of the time.
Most of the time. Yeah. But, you know, I think there's a, it's definitely not like my favorite. My favorite's actually a volleyball anime.
Yeah.
It's so good. It's amazing. It's incredible.
No, but, totally.
You know, and that's a little less, but that still has like goofy faces and, you know, dumb jokes and,
yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff still exists, I think, across genres. So
yeah, totally. And yeah, I take issue with some of that, but anyway, I am enjoying it. But the point being like, being able to grind the game while actually doing something else made me way like it, that whole concept way more. It was just something insulting about like demanding my very limited free time. And the fact that I'm paying for it annoyed me. I was like, dude, don't tell me what to do with my time when I pay you. Really, yeah. Is kind of what it comes down to. And I know that sounds so silly. So it's all optional, but I feel like I have the luxury of being very demanding because I'm paying a monthly fee. Like that's the whole reason I pay it is because I want to enjoy the game the way I want to enjoy it. So
anyway, in general, I agree with that sentiment a lot. Like, I've been playing Rocksmith a lot again this week. I kind of jump in and out of Rocksmith, and because the game does like weird things with audio to like pull in your guitar and make the sound right.
Right.
If I'm trying to watch YouTube while I play Rocksmith, it'll get like a render error every time because like something in the audio codecs. I don't know the science behind it, but it always breaks my YouTube, and like I get so upset because like. I always watch YouTube while playing games, like, and then I'm just like, I'm trying to fucking, you know, I just want to, like, practice some guitar, watch some YouTube videos, and you, like, expecting me to focus on you entirely is really more than I can fucking stand right now.
Yeah. No, that's very similar. It sounds kind of silly, but at the same time, is it? Like, you want to enjoy this thing the way you want to enjoy it, and if something's obstructing that, it can be very, like, fuck you, back off, man. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. I like giving games half my attention. That's my favorite way to play them, you know?
Yeah. And I don't like normally when I play a game, I'm pretty like, I play a lot of single player games for that reason. Like, I'm not the same way as you where I don't like, I rarely listen to something else while I'm playing unless it's something like this where I'm grinding. And then to be like, then the fact that it's acting like it's more than that, that's where I got a little pissy. But anyway, I also played a bunch more Neverwinter Nights, which. I just have been doing this fun thing where it's on my phone. So I just play it whenever like I'm at work waiting for someone to call me or something. I'll just pop, you know, in for a couple seconds. The saves are instant. So it's actually
That's not what you told me. You told me you play it in bed every night.
Well, that's what I was about to say. And
that's what you told in your pajamas under the covers.
I don't wear pajamas.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit.
Anyway, no, I do play it. And that's what I was about to say is I play it before bed and it's really fun. It's just like a, you know, it's pretty janky, it's pretty old, but I'm really enjoying how simple it is and fun, just like running through dungeons, and I love it. I'm really enjoying it. I'm in chapter 2 now and really still having a blast with it, which I'm kind of surprised by. Usually games sort of that era and that are that old, I usually run into some sort of block where I'm just like, fuck this, I've seen enough. But with this one, I'm really having a blast with it. I think I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, but I had a group of nerd friends that we played a little bit of Neverwinter Nights, but I never really got that invested in it. But, you know, we did jump in and kind of, you know, do stories together.
Some modules, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even touched the multiplayer yet, which would actually be pretty interesting. I've just been doing the single player main quest, which by all accounts is the weakest part of the entire game. So, I think I love the idea that there's like this essentially infinite D&D game on my phone. Like, that's so cool. Just knowing I have that with me at all times is like, would make 14-year-old me just so happy. So,
God, anyway, what a been nerd. Enjoying that.
Yeah. Yeah, not like you.
No, not like me. Come on. I'm cool, all right?
Yeah, real cool guy.
I'm a real cool guy. Now let's talk about anime.
The other game I played a lot of that I'll talk about briefly is Resident Evil.
Oh no.
I know. But I got into the remake of the original and the remaster of the remake of the original. So it's a, I'm sure everyone knows this, but it was a remake of the original that came out, I think, in 2002 for the GameCube, and was just really, it's really astonishing how much better it was than the original in such a short time. Like, it looks like it's like three generations ahead, but it wasn't. It was one generation ahead. But it, the difference between the original Resident Evil and the remake, even on the GameCube hardware, it was only like 7 years, and it looks 50 times better. It's kind of amazing. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen such a dramatic improvement in such a short time.
Well, I mean, the first Resident Evil was like the first 3D game. Like, it was,
I know, but so it was early. It was only like 6-7 year difference.
I know, but
that's,
it was,
that's crazy.
Think about the difference between Ballerina Toshinden and Bloody Roar, okay? Like, that, it was...
to put it in terms that I can really understand and relate to. Yeah, to put it in terms
that people relate to, you know? Like, Toshinden was so rough, but by the time Bloody Roar came, yeah, it was still rough, but you could turn into an animal, you know? Like, yeah. Like it really leaps and bounds in that era with 3D.
No, but I mean, like, it really... And I know they're pre-render background, so it's a little different, but it looks incredible, even today. Like, it looks insane. So anyway, I got really
think of the difference between Toe Ball number one and Toe Ball number two.
I know? What I was gonna say. Well, it'd be more like the difference between Toe Ball number two and Soul Calibur, right? It's only one generation, but they look totally different. Like, one plays like a modern game, and the other one does not. No offense to Toe Ball number two.
Yeah, Soul Calibur is a little old fashioned. I agree.
No, yeah, compared to Toe Ball.
Compared to Toe Ball.
But anyway, I got into it. I've been playing on my computer because you can use a mod to skip the door sequences.
But and the doors make it spooky.
Well, kind of, but they're sort of annoying. And I just wanted to run through it once. But then I also bought it on PlayStation. So I'm definitely going to be platinuming it on my PS5. And I'm really excited to play a 20-year-old game on my brand new console hardware. I also have some PS5 games. I guess I'll try those out. But I'm really excited about... the remake of the original Resident Evil.
Considering Ghost of Tsushima has been the most booted game on mine, I cannot judge you.
Yeah. But last thing I'll say, and I talk a lot about Resident Evil, and I've talked a lot about it in the past, but I don't know what it is exactly about that formula that gets its hooks into me. But when I start playing it, I just get really, really interested in optimizing the run and just like... running to find something out and figuring out and then wasting all my ammo and then loading and doing it perfectly. There's something about that loop that I find immensely satisfying. And well, this game is arguably the best of the... It is clearly the best of the classic Resident Evil style. It's so good. It's just so polished. It's such a beautiful refinement of that formula. That it's kind of got its hooks back into me. Like, I'm thinking about it a lot. Like, when I'm falling asleep, I'm like, oh, what if I did this in this order instead? It's interesting.
Yeah, I feel like classic Resident Evil games are like designed like for that, like somehow specifically designed.
It's like they're designed for speedrunning. Yeah, and I'm not a speedrunner, but it is that same mentality of like optimization. And I feel like, I guess maybe this isn't true, but I feel like when the games come out, no one talks about that side of it, which is a really compelling side.
Yeah, because they're not difficult. There's nothing hard in those games. There's nothing that's hard.
This one's pretty hard. Like on normal,
there's nothing that's specifically hard to do in that game.
It's not like reflex based. No, not at all.
It's knowing
planning. It's strategy. Yeah,
knowing the puzzles, planning where to go, what I'm going to get first. Like,
yeah, and avoiding enemies is actually kind of challenging, but that's the closest to like a real video game challenge in the traditional sense.
Yeah, it really is lining up the pieces in the smartest way.
Yeah.
Which is speedrunning, right? Like,
exactly.
Yeah. So,
and even speedrunning this game, reflexes, I'd imagine, are an important part of any speedrun, but it's not like speedrunning something like, you know, Contra or whatever. But the last thing I'll say about it is I think it's so funny how the original Resident Evil is notoriously bad voice acting, right? Like, so bad it's good. It's incredible. It's so funny. And this game, which looks so beautiful and is so far ahead of its time, the voice acting is definitely better, but just barely. And I think it's so funny that everything about the game is such a huge improvement by every metric, except the voice acting, which was so widely derided, is just like marginally better. I think that's so funny that he's like, no, fuck you. I'm not going to do good voice acting on principle.
But did they update the voice acting? Like, it's high fidelity?
Yeah, it's totally different. It's re-recorded and like, it's definitely better. Like, it's way better. And also the campy writing, there's only so much you could do with it. But the voice acting is still very bad. And I remember even when it came out, by Modern Standards is very bad, but even when it came out, I was like, really? Like, for the game that has the worst voice acting of all time, it's weird you didn't put a little more effort into this one aspect of it.
That's funny.
But anyway, I'm loving it. I'll definitely keep playing it through the week, but I think I've talked enough about what I play. I want to know what you got up to.
So, just to stay in line with speedrunning, this isn't something I played, but actually a YouTube video I watched. I'm
pretty sure that doesn't count.
I know, but it's funny. they're talking about SpongeBob on Xbox and this, like, the speedrunning strat. I don't know. Do you know anything about this game?
No.
So this video was about how, like, the hardware, like, they kept trying to figure out the hardware that had the fastest speedruns, right? Because, like, Xboxes all had different hardware in them.
Yep.
And the latest Xboxes were the fastest. They had the Samsung drives and the fastest hard drives. And so, like, that version loaded faster, but one of the skips they did required like lag, and they couldn't get the skip to work on that device, right? Yeah. So it was like this kind of give and take between, like, do we want everything else to be faster, but these skips are like harder to do, or do we want the skips to be easy, but the loads are all longer, so ultimately the speedrun takes longer, right? And so there's all this back and forth, and no one could figure out, like, how do we get the skips to work consistently, you know, because even then it was still hard to do. And then one day, dude had been like streaming all day trying to figure out these skips and trying to like see what to do, and he's like, why doesn't it work that well? And he pulls out the disc, and he's got sweaty ass gross hands from playing all day. And he touches the disc, puts it in, and realizes all the skips start working because the disc is dirty.
That is right? So cool.
And then it created this whole like meta of people trying to make specific sections of the discs dirty in the right way so that loads will still be fast, but the skips will fucking trigger like all the time.
That's incredible.
It was fascinating. It was just so interesting.
That's like really takes speedrunning a new level, like physically modifying the hardware.
Yeah, it was
with your own like human grease.
Yeah, it was so human grease. Cool. Yeah, it was so interesting. I thought it was the funniest thing. And yeah, like he found the guy that had the current world record. He's like, "Can you send me a picture of your disc?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, here." And it was just filthy. Like, and he didn't just on accident, right? He's like, "Oh, I've just been cleaning it with my
20 years old or whatever."
Yeah, he's like, "I've been cleaning it with like spit in my shirt, so that's why it's like so dirty, and it's just like disgusting." But that's why the skips always worked for him. That's why he had the world record. Yeah, it was pretty amazing. It was a pretty amazing YouTube video.
Yeah, that's cool. I'll have to check that out. Maybe you could send me a link real quick. I love speedrunning for that reason. And I love that it's so laser focused on specific games. Like, I watch a lot of Resident Evil speedruns, and they're all like the language that builds up around a specific game and all the different techniques used is so crazy. And it's so cool how pretty much every game has a community around it. It's pretty amazing. So if you're not interested in speedrunning, I do recommend checking it out. It's pretty fascinating. And your story is a good example of why.
Yeah, it's not my story. So this is from a YouTuber called Shift, S-H-I-F-T. The I is lowercase for some reason, and everything else is uppercase. If that matters to you, you can change the case, but I don't think it's case sensitive. He has a new one, actually, I haven't seen yet, about the same. Calls it Gamer Gunk Speedruns. But yeah, so check out his YouTube channel. It's called The Most Bizarre Speedrun Strategy Ever Found. I don't want to take credit. I didn't come up with the story. But
it's still an interesting one for sure.
It was so interesting. I was hooked. Yeah, I watched the whole thing. So that was great. I haven't played a lot new this week. I've been playing a lot of Rocksmith. You know, I've talked about it before on here that I kind of jump in and spend some time in Rocksmith. And you know, it reminds me how much I suck at guitar, which
it's always good.
It's always sobering. You know, I played a lot when I was a kid. Like, I got my first guitar when I was like 12, and like I played nonstop like into high school, and was like in high school bands and stuff. And because I was really like a music nerd in high school, I played cello and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I was in the marching band. I was in the jazz band. I was in music theory. I was like all about it.
That's so cool.
And then my senior year, I found marijuana, and that was it. Quit the band.
All the ambition went out the window because of the devil's lettuce.
Because the devil's lettuce, I quit the band and ditched school and just hung out with girls.
It's like a PSA.
Yeah, it is a PSA.
Tony was on track to become a cello player, but then he took a hit of weed.
To be fair, I found marijuana earlier than that, but I think senior year I just was like, this is my life.
Were a senior,
I think I was just a senior in high school and didn't want to get up for zero period every morning.
My story was very similar, but anyway.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's just like they can't expect seniors in high school to come in at like 6 a.m. so they can be in the band. You know, like, that's not going to work.
It's unrealistic expectation, unrealistic. For sure.
So yeah, I've been playing a lot of Rocksmith. It's fun, nice. You know. The one thing I will say this time I'm doing that I didn't do last time and I think helps a lot is I went to Guitar Center yesterday and bought a ABY, like a pedal thing. And it's basically a Y splitter with a switch like that you can put on your feet. I mean, you could put the switch anywhere. But
yeah.
What it does is it allows me to route audio to my computer and to my amp. So okay. I can hear the guitar from my amp, but the computer still picks it up for Rocksmith. Mm-hmm. So that you can actually hear the guitar right. You know,
yeah.
Like Rocksmith kind of like obscures it to kind of sound like, you know, like you were playing like Guitar Hero or something, you know, or it's just right. Like you don't really hear what's happening. And this has definitely made it a lot easier to be like, am I actually playing this right? What's actually happening yeah. on my guitar? Which I think is interesting. And I downloaded a ton of custom tracks, which is fun. Yeah, a lot of anime cool. songs too, so I can play sweet anime riffs for you.
Because you're a fucking nerd.
No, it's because you love like anime. Because you love anime now, and I want to be able to play those sweet, sweet anime songs for you when you're playing Neverwinter Nights naked in bed.
Officially shared too much information about myself.
Hey, you know, you live your life. And
hell yeah, man, I live alone for a reason.
Yeah, be proud of it. That's what I say. So yeah, I've been playing a lot of Rocksmith again. Hopefully that's I cool. stick with it again and get my chops back because, man, I am so bad at guitar now.
Yeah, I used to play guitar in high school and college as well, and I was in a band, and we like went on tours, and like it was fun. But I was actually never very good. Like I was good enough, but that was it. And pretty quickly, just gave up on guitar. So
I think most people are just good. Most people that play guitar are good enough, even in bands yeah. and stuff, right? Like
yeah.
you can play all the chords, you can play bar yeah. chords, you can play power chords.
I don't
chords.
Think the learning curve is that high to get to that position. No. It's just if you want to keep going, and I just was not motivated in that way. I was good yeah. enough, barely.
I always tell people that like want to learn guitar. It's like it's a few months and you can play yeah. songs, like yeah. all the songs.
Yeah, if you just want to learn songs, it's pretty quick.
Yeah, if you want to be able to play like fucking Hootie and the Blowfish songs
right.
at when you're camping or at barbecues or whatever, like that's 2 months away. Like you can yeah, do that, yeah. no
like,
problem.
Like I can play a couple Beatles songs. Like that's all I need.
Yeah. Now, if you want to be able to like riff and like.
If you want to play anime songs, so dude, that's those a whole songs. Other thing.
I will say this, like Japanese people, like their guitar tracks are nuts.
Like, yeah, I know. I love that.
Yeah. It's like death metal. It's just like,
yeah.
just crazy solos. Like, you know, that's when you got to start learning theory and like, you yeah. know, practice arpeggios and like really like get into all that. And that's a whole nother tier. That's years, well,
it's,
right?
It's almost like playing a game and being good at a game versus being a speedrunner, right? It's yeah. like, if you want to get good and get like the best, like get platinum on a game versus like being a speedrunner, very different.
Yeah, it is funny that leap, right? Where you can play guitar for like 5 years and just like play chords and power yeah, chords
be,
and
be good enough,
little riffs and be good enough and impress all your friends. But like getting to that level where you're like, I could like, you know, legitimately like play guitar is like yeah. years away from that moment, right?
Oh, yeah.
And it just seems so like, oh, he's pretty good at guitar. Well, can you do this? It's like, no, that's so beyond like, to me.
No, right? And I never will be able to.
Yeah, and I never will be. So hopefully Rocksmith will get me there.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah. Another game I played, on your suggestion, you said it was great. So I decided I would give it a try.
I never said it was great.
You told me I should try it. You said this is
yeah,
a game
yeah, but that's very different
like.
Than
try
it's
it.
Great. Anyway.
I mean, I took your advice and played this game. And it's the Outriders demo. And that game is a piece of shit. It is so bad.
Great. So I'm actually curious because real quick, despite your hyperbole, when I played it, I was like, this feels like a very modern 2020 game or 2021 game for better and worse. Like, you know, I think it looks okay. And I think there was some fun stuff in the powers, but overall it felt about as generic and like, hey, let's take everything about modern gaming and stick it in a game. And again, like there was some upsides to that, but most of it was not very good. But I'm very curious how you came to think of it as just like terrible.
Everything feels bad. You know, I think
you're right. Actually,
the biggest thing to me is it just like, it reminds me of Anthem not like that work. Like if Anthem was functional, I think this would be it, which makes you think Anthem never should have come out, right? Like,
yeah.
And it doesn't have the cool flying, right? Like the one thing that made Anthem cool, yeah, this game doesn't have. And you know, maybe it's just what they showed in the demo. I really didn't play that long. I did the tutorial.
It's a big demo, I will say, yeah, to their credit. Like apparently it's I only played maybe an hour or two. But apparently it is like a meaty demo. You can play all the different classes and there's quite a lot of content for free.
Yeah, you can go out like the repeatable stuff and like
with the different classes, which maybe, you know, some of them might feel better than others, but I think I hear you. I think it does feel very stiff and I think the shooting is not good.
The movement feels like a poor Gears of War, like, yeah, copy, right? Like,
The whole thing does have a sense of like imposter syndrome. Like has all the elements of better games, but it doesn't quite stick the landing, you know?
I think Gears of War feels like shit, and this feels like a bad Gears of War clone. You know, I think
Gears of War is just so heavy.
Like, it had its time.
Feels so heavy.
Yeah, it had its time, but you know, like I think Gears of War feels heavy and clunky.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
Too sticky. Everything's too sticky.
Yeah,
and this feels like a poor man's version of that.
It's like you're skating around,
sort of, right? Or just trying to find the next thing that you can like stick to because that's where you're gonna fight now. And you know, the guns feel bad. You know, they just sort of like clunk off of things and aren't visceral at all. You know, they sound bad.
I did find one that was sort of like a bolt action. One of those, like I usually use in the Division as well, where it's like a single shot, but an extremely powerful shot. And it never felt like Destiny style good, but that did feel very satisfying, certainly more than like the standard guns. So
yeah,
you know, they might, we played very little of it. So I'm sure people who played a lot will point to, what about this and this and this? But I do agree with you that it does not make a good first impression.
No. And then you play this tutorial and the first mission is a battle arena. You're in one room, right? And just fighting like a few waves of enemies. And it's just like, what the fuck, man? Like what? Like, this is it? Like, this is what you show? You know, like there was just nothing I felt was redeemable about it. The story, I tried to stick with the story in the beginning, but this cowboy fuck is talking and he's not cool. Like no one's cool. Hot Doctor's not cool, who becomes hot, you know, commander later. Not cool. Like no one seems redeemable or interesting or.
Yeah. They're all kind of just archetypes. Like I think I said, I did kind of find the time jump compelling to see like, oh, all these people you knew are now like total still archetypes. There's no depth to them, but it was kind of neat to see people you landed with suddenly 40 years later, or however long. I thought that was kind of neat, but it certainly was not neat enough to redeem the story by any means.
And it's just a demo. I get it. But the way they like explore that is it's like,
it's a lot of cutscenes.
And when it's like, fuck you, you've been sleeping. We've had a hard life. So go do this shit.
Yeah. Right?
And that's like that's the time skip, you know? And it's like, that's how we talk about it. So that's the end. Now go fucking fight bad guys.
And you're go to like a bunch of instances.
Yeah. And you're just like, really? Like that's what this time skip is. Hot Doctor's now old Hot Doctor that's in charge of everything. And fuck you, let's not talk about it anymore. You know,
the other guy's an alcoholic now. It's like, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you, your life's been good. You've been sleeping. It's like, this is...
Yeah, and I just woke up to, like, the craziest shit on the earth. Like, my life has not been that good. God damn. I agree. Yeah. I was very like, hey, watch who you're talking to. Also, I will cut you down.
Yeah, and, like, let's fucking slow down a second, you know? And, like... Like, don't you know what a time skip feels like? I just woke up
yesterday. It's like, no, you don't, because you haven't been through one like me.
Yesterday, I was basically dead, right? Yeah. In the black swarm thing, right?
Yeah, whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah, I mean, I did the Pyromancer class, and I thought the spells felt pretty rough. I know you liked the ones you did better.
Yeah, I did like the time one, and I didn't love it, but it definitely was at least cool. You could like put this time bubble that would slow down anything within it, including projectiles. So if someone's shooting at you, put it up, you could like see the bullets moving slowly. Like it was kind of cool. But again, the game at its best was like kind of cool, maybe. At its worst, it was intolerable. So overall, it was not a good experience.
I can definitely see why it's part of Game Pass, right? Yeah. Like they need an injection of money and a player base that can get into it without spending $70, because otherwise no one would play this game, right? Like the reviews will be harsh for sure. When this game comes out, the reviews will not be good. And I just don't think it's going to find an audience, right? Like unless people can play it for air quotes free, right? Because no one seems to remember that they pay money for Game Pass. Like, you know, yeah. Everyone's like, I can't believe we get all these games for free. And it's like, it's not free, everyone. Please relax.
Yeah. You know, you can just buy the game and play it also, right?
Yeah, it's basically free. I mean,
yeah, Microsoft is like, yeah, totally, sure is. Yes,
free, another free
what's
game.
Your, what's your credit card information again? Yeah, you need to update.
Another free one.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, one thing I did kind of like about it is it was the loot. When I only did, I think, two or three missions, and they were not great. They were fine. But it was, like, when you got the loot, which was very Destiny, you open it, and it's, like, glowing orbs. It's so, like, derivative and so obviously derivative. But I will say the loot I got felt very like serious upgrades immediately, which was kind of nice. Like it definitely tapped into that sense of like, whoa, this armor is way better than the armor I had. Not slightly better. It was like the gun I found was way more powerful. And I have no idea if that continues. But if you are going to give loot and make a loot shooter like this essentially is, it should feel like, you know, whenever you open a chest, you should feel like, holy shit, I'm way stronger than I was before.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, power creep can only take you so far. That's a problem. Agreed. Right? It feels agreed. Good until it stops, and then you're like,
yeah.
Now nothing feels now good. I can't feel anything anymore. Yeah. I don't know. That game just needs an identity. I mean,
it has no identity.
Yeah, we talked about it. We talked about it before, and I think the biggest shame about this game and Marvel's Avengers and all these games is they make Destiny look like a fucking masterpiece. And it's not. Like, Destiny's so flawed, and I have so many problems with Destiny and Destiny 2, and especially its free-to-play rollout and just how convoluted they made it and just how gross it is now. And you play these games, and you're like, man, Destiny's really good. You know, and I think that's sad because
I agree. The standard is so low.
It's not Destiny's not the best we can do. You know.
Yeah, yeah. It is funny how like the narrative around Destiny has kind of changed recently, where it does feel much more positive, and like that's good for them. I don't begrudge them that, but it is like, hey, hold on, don't forget, Destiny's pretty fucked up. Like, Destiny is not a great game. It does a few things extremely well, but everything else it does poorly.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's just this hardcore that, like, love Destiny no matter what it does. But whenever, I don't know, from the periphery, whenever I talk to people that, like, play Destiny or played Destiny, you know, I just don't feel like there's anything interesting they talk about in that game. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, oh, they added this and it's fucking awesome. Yeah, you know, occasionally there's a small, like, oh, there's an expansion story that's pretty fun. But, you know, outside of that, it's just, like, yeah, you just keep repeating content. You know, it's the same.
Yeah,
it's the same fucking shit. But
And if that works for you, great. Like, all power to you. But I do think it's a little, the idea that Destiny 2 is great because all the other games around it are worse is not. It's not a valid narrative. Like,
it's
Destiny
sad. 2
is still not very good. There could be a game that does everything Destiny does well and also does everything else well, and it should exist. And this clearly is not it.
Yeah, I don't see how I don't see how that's so hard to like. Get
well know. Like I played the Division 2 a fair amount, and I don't think it's an amazing game, but it was, you know, it's similar, I think, but it also suffered from the same issues of like the story was trash and the writing was trash and like, you know, just got old, man.
And the end game was empty, right? Like, that's the thing too. Yeah, like,
that's the challenge.
That's the challenge. The same thing with Destiny, and like, you know, there's a reason that we both still play Final Fantasy 14 years later, right? We both played Destiny 2 and the Division 2. And it was so easy to fall off those games after a month, you know, and it's because it stops being compelling so fast, you know, where you go from the story, you finish this narrative, and everything after that is like, yeah, now if you want to play more, just keep repeating this thing. And eventually you'll earn enough fucking engrams or fucking division plague bucks to, like, you know, to buy a legendary, and then you're fucking can do it the same thing faster. You know, and it's like, and then they're like, oh, we got an expansion. It's 2 hours of missions, and then you can repeat those, you know, and it's like, who the fuck wants this? You know, like, how is this? Give me a Destiny that I pay $15 a month for that has an evolving narrative that continues for, you know, 150 hours, right? And is constantly asking, showing me new things and taking me new places and giving me new adventures.
You basically, you said this before, you wanted Destiny to be an MMO, essentially, with like first-person combat, which I agree could be, I don't know why that hasn't been done yet. Like, seems like a no-brainer, right? Just like copy the MMO model, only make it a really good first-person shooter.
Yeah, people will pay $15 a month. Yeah. I mean, if anything,
I probably would. Like, Destiny 2, I will say the shooting mechanics are exceptional. I think everyone agrees on that. And, like, if you took those, really just, like, that model and applied a way more interesting content rollout plan, it could be really compelling. I'm not sure why, like, why that hasn't been done is very sort of mystifying to me. It seems like such an obvious thing.
I mean, if you took Destiny 2, even as it is, right, charge $15 a month and use that money to have a couple more compelling social spaces, and like just a lot more like raid content and a lot more dungeon content, like just a lot more things to do in the end game, that game would be a lot more compelling to me, right? And a narrative that continued on, that was continually like every couple months, here's another set of missions, here's more story about what's going on, there's a large grand narrative here that we're kind of achieving. And I think they sort of try to do that, but it never connects, right? It never all makes sense. When you look at Final Fantasy 14, man, and like stuff that is happening now, like calls back to things you did years ago in Realm Reborn. I mean, you didn't play it.
It's always funny when that happens. Like when someone will, they'll like mention someone, will be like, holy shit, I forgot that was in this game. That feels like it was such a long time ago. And yeah, you're right. I've only been playing for like a year and a half or however long it's been, maybe longer now, but yeah.
Especially if you've been doing the raids and stuff, like, you know, Crystal Tower was an old raid, and that literally is like kind of the entire structure of this last patch, you know, is like, and so, you know, it's, they really do combine these narratives and make these really interesting things and show you new places and take you new places. And games like Destiny are like, here's the moon again, but this time, the monster is a little bit different, but all the enemies are the same, you know, like everything else is the same. It's the same loop, right? But you know, it's got a different name. So you know, that's so disappointing. And I think Outriders just kind of reinforces just how disappointing that genre is, and how like unable to kind of compete with, I think, what people are looking for in that space. You know?
Yeah. I just don't know why. Like, why is it so hard?
Because they don't have to do it. You know, I think that's honestly why. They make a lot of money.
Just low.
Yeah, they make a lot of money in games like Final Fantasy 14. Like, Blizzard will never make another World of Warcraft. You know, they make a lot of money, but it costs so much money, right? When they see games like Destiny make a lot of money on games that just don't cost them that ongoing thing, right? And it's such a risk. If no one likes it, you still have, like, look at, like, Anthem, right? Like, no one likes that game. No one plays that game, but they still have to maintain it, right, for so long.
Yeah, it's gotta be so awkward to be like the one, the like team of three people who have to make sure the Anthem servers are still up. Like, that's
everyone's laughing at you in the lunchroom, right?
Yeah, like we talked about from the portable.
Yeah, you go into meetings and they're like, "All right, let's check on all the teams."
Yeah, they're like "Hey, what's going on over there?" Yeah, like, dude, you know, I just sent you an email. Nothing. Yeah, and they're like, "Oh, really? Okay." Anyway,
never mind. Anthem. You're like one slide.
What's up, Titanfall and like fucking Apex?
Yeah, one slide in the PowerPoint is so sad. So that's what I've been playing. Let's take a quick break. We've been going on for a little while, and we'll jump
into, as we are wont to do.
We do, and we'll jump into a couple news stories. Leo, do you have a good break?
Tony, I have this box, this PS5 box, just sitting in this room I'm recording in. I'm just keep staring at it. It's like it's empty, but it just says PS5 in a big white box, like. Pretty excited. That's all I've been thinking about on our very long break.
I mean, you unboxed it already, right?
Yeah, I pulled it out. I set it up. I just haven't turned it on. Because I gotta clean everything. You know, I got to clean the TV and make sure the experience is perfect.
I kept my box for a while, but it's so big. I had to get rid of the box. Like, I was sad to get rid of it, but it's like so much box that it had to go. It had to go to the trash.
It's very large,
All right, let's get into some news. We don't have too many stories. Game companies are against anti-Asian hate crimes, which I'm very proud of them for finally saying want Asian people to get their asses kicked.
To get murdered.
Get murdered and get fucking punched out in the streets.
I really appreciate them taking such a hard stance on such a controversial thing.
you know, sometimes you got to just step up and say something that's unpopular. Yeah,
even if it's against the popular opinion, even if you're risking your share, alienating your shareholders, sometimes you got to say that racism is bad.
Yeah, you know, don't murder people, don't punch them in the streets. We stand by this no matter what you say. And
to all you people who are saying otherwise to us, we say no. Racism is bad.
We denounce you for saying that it's cool
to shoot Asian people.
Shoot Asian people and attack them in the streets.
What a fucking nightmare.
Fucking that's the world we live in. We'll get into a real good story. Activision Blizzard CEO Bobby Kotick, our old boy, our old friend Bobby. He got a $200 million bonus.
This fucking guy.
For all the fucking dope shit he does.
What does he do? What did he do this year?
Stock price is up. I think that's what they really care about. I guess
that's really his job, honestly. Like, all everything aside, if the stock price is up, I think that's like 98% of his job. So it's hard to argue with that, I guess.
It's like hard
from the shareholders'
argue.
Perspective, they're like, hey, you made us money. You can have some. Like, it really is kind of that simple.
Yeah, you made us a lot of money. Here's a little slice for you. It's like you tip the dealer, you know?
Yeah.
And then
all the people who make the games are like, wait a minute. What the hell's going on here?
You're not the dealer, you know? Like, I think that's what's crazy, too, is that Activision just laid off so many people. They announced 50 people laid off that were part of, I think it was basically mainly Overwatch League. But I do think I read somewhere else that it was part of a larger layoff, right? I think ultimately like 150 plus people got laid off across Activision. I mean, they're a huge company, so I would assume as far as their total amount of employees, it's not a giant percentage, but still, you know, 150 affected people while our boy Bobby gets that cash. But, you know, I don't know. I understand that this feels terrible to a lot of people when you see one person benefits so much while so many people don't benefit. It's fucked up, but you know. Yeah.
Well, I agree there, you know, there's a conversation we had around that. I don't know if we're the ones who should have it, but what I find sort of more interesting is when I saw it, I was like, wait a minute, to your point, share price went up, but like from a gamer perspective, it's like, what the hell did Activision do this year? Like Tony Hawk remakes by all accounts were very cool. What else did Activision do? New Call of Duty, I guess.
I think they just rode the wave of the pandemic.
Yeah,
you know?
I guess that's true. Surviving is like something, but it just feels like, damn, what did Activision do this year that is deserving of any sort of bonus?
Jack shit.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
that really just more speaks to like, Activision does not impress me.
No, not at all. And you know, it's funny, like when they talked about this Overwatch League thing and the layoffs, I felt bad, but part of me is just like, of course, like this was coming with or without the pandemic. Like Overwatch League has really been a failure, you know, in a lot of ways.
You're right.
I played Overwatch for a long time.
I still play it.
You still
pretty regularly. Not
you're still
every day,
insane.
But,
you know, Ash is still the best girl in Overwatch.
She's very cool.
She's the best girl.
And that Roadhog Pachamari skin was pretty ballsy, I think.
But you think Roadhog's the best girl?
I mean, he's definitely my favorite character to play, for whatever that's worth. I don't think he's the best girl.
Roadhog, best girl. You heard it here first.
Fuck it, sure. Why not?
I love Roadhog, too. So don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he's cool. Scary.
But Overwatch League was terrible. Like, by all metrics. No one watched it.
I think that was a great example of like, hey, we have infinite money. Let's do it. And then they were like, oh, it is a little bit more than just infinite money. Like, fuck.
Well, and I think it too, it's one of those things where it's like, you talk to investors and they're like, esports is the thing, right? Like, it's all about esports. Like, League of Legends has such a big audience. Dota, Fortnite. These kids love the Fortnite.
I heard about this Counter-Strike thing. People are still playing that in Asia.
Yeah, and so they're like, we got to get in on it, and they make these big investments, they hire all these people, and I mean, you know, I think the problem with Overwatch is, and Overwatch League especially, is like, they lean so hard into esports, and like, the way they balance the game, that it made it not fun to play.
Yeah,
and if people don't play it, then people aren't going to watch it, you know.
Yeah, and, you're totally right. I feel like I was always sort of immune from that because I only ever play arcade. Like, I don't think I've ever played a ranked game ever, so I just don't care about the competitive side of it. I really just enjoy the moment-to-moment gameplay and unlocking the skins. So it didn't bother me, but you're absolutely right that, like, reprioritizing that game to promote the Overwatch League came very close to alienating me, and I'm sure many other people.
Yeah, I mean, even in the most popular esports games, like League of Legends, right, where you do, like, they do have, like, role queue, you queue into a specific role or whatever, you can still pick whoever you want. Like, if you want to troll, or you think you have a better idea, and you want to, like, pick a certain champion, people might be grumpy about it, people might be upset, but you're allowed to. And that is a game that's going to take 30-plus minutes, right, with everyone stuck with you.
I cannot believe people play that game. Yeah,
That is a far bigger commitment and a far bigger... inconvenience on the other players on your team than an Overwatch match, which has role queue, and you know it's still pretty free form as far as what you're allowed to do. And the way they did role queue for Overwatch, like, I never played it again after. I played it like one time after role queue, and was just like, this sucks. Like, this sucks. It's no fun. It's so slow. Especially like forcing like two tanks, two healers means that these fights are going to be boring as fuck, you know, like, no one's going to die until everyone has ults and then someone's, you know, like,
yeah, it just comes a race to ults.
Yeah. Unless someone just runs out and dies by themselves, which is once again, like, what's the point of role queue when we can have only two DPS and one of them just ran out and died. So now no one dies, you know?
Yeah. That's exactly why I just only ever play in the arcade. Cause there's a bunch of just very simple, straightforward, fun modes that I find compelling, but I do feel like, I just never engaged with that side of Overwatch anyway, so it didn't bother me. But I think you're absolutely correct that was they're like, oh, we have to make this an esports game, is a great way to make me lose interest in it.
Yeah, I'd rather have 5 DPS, or how, I don't even know, how 6 people on team, 6 DPS, than 2, 2, and 2 of people that, like, you know, like, aren't doing their role right, or don't want to play those roles, you know?
Well, that mode is there. You can do that whenever you want. It's not like they made it impossible to play that way.
Yeah, but people want to play. I mean, I like playing competitive. I like the idea of MMR and rank, you know, and kind of shoehorning that into being a specific play style. It's always boring. It always just kind of ruins it.
Yeah, and it just makes it sterile and boring. Yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah. You know, I think that makes people not want to watch it. You know, I don't want to watch it. I think it's a boring game.
I bet Bobby Kotick doesn't watch it.
I bet Bobby Kotick doesn't watch it either, right?
He's too busy watching his fucking bank account grow.
I bet they maybe have it on in like on a TV in the lobby, right? And if that's the case, he's seen more of it than I have. So
I bet he walks past and he looks like he glances at it and he goes, the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah.
Who plays this? Anyway, he's like, off to my office.
Yeah, Sherry, Kate... make him stop this thing. You know, that's what he says. Sherry's the secretary. Yeah.
Sherry, this is not what I want to see. Put on the golf.
Can we fire these people? Put on the real sports. Yeah. Can we do something to make this not exist anymore? Can we do
something to make this stop?
This looks like it costs me a lot of money.
Sure, Bobby.
This looks like it costs me a lot of money. I'm going golfing. I have a headache. And then that's it, right? Like,
poor Sherry.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I do feel bad for all the people who got laid off. As someone that's been part of a big layoff, it sucks.
It's not fun. To your point, I can see, no matter how you slice it, like, getting laid off and then seeing the CEO make $200 million, the optics, there's just, you know, it just sucks. There's really no way that doesn't feel bad, and I totally get that.
Yeah, I mean, these things are very separate, you know, like...
Yeah, true, but even so...
It's hard to kind of get your mind around the fact that they're like... Yeah. I've always been very good at compartmentalizing, which I think is dangerous in a lot of ways. So it's easier for me to be like, oh, there's separate things, you know. But I do see how it's really churns your stomach and gets you fired up when you see stuff like that happen.
Yeah, I think it's not a situation unique to Activision. This is like an issue with modern capitalism, which is a much bigger conversation. But it's like, yeah, anyway, I agree. And I could see why it would feel really bad.
Yeah. All right. One last story quick before we get out of here. Dead Cells. You played Dead Cells, right?
I did, yeah. I played it a little bit on the Switch, and I liked it. I definitely never got its hooks in me in the way it did for a lot of people. I could tell, though, like, even just playing a little bit, like, it feels great. It's very cool looking. I can absolutely see why people like it. And one of these days, it might be fun to hop back into it.
I will say, if you haven't played it kind of semi-recently, you might want to check it out again. They've really changed the balance a lot after the expansions came out, so... Yeah. It definitely feels a bit less punishing early on, so you get to kind of have some fun with it.
They did a great job of just really supporting the shit out of it. Like, that's a classic example of, like, people liked it when it came out, and then they just kept making it better and better and better for years and adding content, and it looks like it's finally paid off. Or, I think it paid off immediately, but it's continuing to pay off, rather.
Yeah, so Dead Cells came out in China a few days ago. Let's see if I have an official launch date. February 3rd, 2021, it called it Reborn Cells. This is from Gamasutra. And,
oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And it sold 1 million copies within a few days of launch. So a small percentage of China's population, but a lot of copies sold.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's huge for a small team.
Yeah, it is a huge for a small team.
I don't know what consoles they release on, but there's a mobile port, which I've heard is cool. I don't have it, or I don't think I'll play it that way. I'm sure you'd have to have a controller to play that game properly. But I'd imagine adding it to iOS and Android in China will only see those numbers go up.
Well, according to this story, it's only available on mobile in China.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. I must have totally misunderstood.
Yeah, the developer said the title amassed 1 million sales on mobile platforms in China within a few days of launch.
Okay.
And the title landed in the region February 3rd and is the top seller, the top game.
Top seller
on iOS paid chart. So it's the number
one. This is a great example of why you shouldn't just, like, glance at a headline and then talk about it. But anyway, either way, that's cool. Good for them.
Yeah, good for them. Big game. I like Dead Cells a lot. Yeah. I do recommend... if you get a chance to jump back in. And yeah, Leo, I think you should check it out. It's much different now than it was.
No, totally. I mean, like I said, this is a classic example of, I liked it when I was playing it, just for whatever reason didn't click with me. But it's definitely one of those games where I suspect in 2 years I'll be like, oh, I should try Dead Cells again, and then get totally sucked in. So I'm looking forward to that and wish him all the best.
I will say, we denounce violence against anybody.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I had the same thought. I was like, just to make it clear, if it wasn't clear, like, yeah, don't be fucking racist. Don't target people because they're race. Just fucking get over it.
If you're going to be racist, be racist at home, okay?
Yeah, be racist in the comfort of your house and do not, under any circumstances, shoot people.
Yeah, don't take your racism out on the streets. You know, be like the rest of us and be a little bit racist from the comfort of your own home. You know, don't actually believe the shit is real and take it out in the world.
Yeah.
You know,
but don't be racist against Asian people, obviously. Don't be racist against anyone else, obviously. Like, fuck.
Just don't be a violent asshole about anything, right? Yeah. Like, just don't. Just fucking relax. We at Techyeah Games denounce
violence and racism.
And racism.
I think I'm comfortable saying that.
Yeah. And of any kind.
Yeah.
All of it.
Without exception.
Without exception. That is... We're very brave.
Yeah. Very brave to have that position. That very obvious fucking common sense position that everyone should not even be debatable.
I know this is difficult. I know people will be angry that we denounce violence and racism.
Yeah.
But
we gotta take a stand.
We gotta take a stand. Even if it makes you stop listening.
Because we don't like racism.
Because we don't like racism and violence.
If you like racism and violence, we want you to stop listening to our show. Understand?
Yeah, you can keep listening. We actually use the numbers. Right.
I don't want any emails from you.
Yeah. Right, now you
I don't
want to
know
email.
You're listening.
You can email techyeahpodcast@gmail.com. just know that we
denounce. So much for taking a stand.
Well, no, we're making a stand. I can't tell people what to download. Okay? I'm not in charge of them. You know?
Yeah.
But I can still take a stand. And make an announcement.
Make our opinion known. We're anti-racism.
That's what I just did.
Love it.
Very brave.
Really, really using the platform for good.
Someone write a news story about it. Because we're fucking... We're a beacon of
we're
light.
On the cutting edge of progressivism.
Dark time. Yeah, for sure. Leo, is there anything else you wanted to talk about before we get out of here? Anything else you want to denounce or
No,
support?
I got to say, I'm really, really excited for this PS5. So I'm looking forward to telling you all about it next week. And then not an annoying, like, ooh, I have a PS5 and you don't. But I've just been...
Nah, fuck you, losers.
No, that's Tony's position, not mine. But I am excited to talk about the hardware and yeah, my experience with it. So hope y'all will tune in next week.
Yeah, I do support consolism, right? Like we denounce racism and violence, but if someone doesn't have a modern console or they have an Xbox or something, like trash it. Right?
So if they don't have a PS5, you mean?
If they don't have a PS5 or a PC or just like, you know, if it doesn't matter if they have a PS5 but you have an Xbox and you think it's better, like trash them. You know, that's what I say.
Again, like, coming out strong positions, yeah, here.
Fuck them. You know, whatever stance you want to take, fuck the other guy when it comes to consoles, because it doesn't matter. It's a dumb thing. It's fun to fight about dumb things, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Just don't fight about like real shit, because that's fucking stupid. But a little fucking fisticuffs about what video games you like.
About SSD speeds?
Yeah, fucking glorious. Fucking glorious.
go for it.
Yeah, I support that wholeheartedly. I think
people of all races and backgrounds can agree it's fun to fight about video games.
It's fun to fight about dumb things that don't matter, man. Sports teams and video games, go for it. Yeah. Fucking race and fucking social standing, like, shut the fuck up, you moron. You know, like, why do you think you have any place to fight about that? Like, let's be real here, you know? So, keep it real out there. I love you guys. Well, with that, we'll get out of here. I'm sure someone's mad at me now. So, techyappodcast@gmail.com. Leo, send an email. techyappodcast@gmail.com. Techyappodcast on Facebook and Twitter. And, we love you guys. Have a good one. And go play some games.